Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
October, can you imagine that? October 7th, 2023. And kind of hard to imagine for like some of those people that were around, you know, like being born in the 50s or even the 60s. I remember when they had this movie called Frankenstein 1980, we thought that was way off in the future. You know, this was in the 60s when we used to watch Frankenstein. And then remember when Prince had that song, 1999. Wow, that was way off in the future. Now, look, we're way past all of that. And everything that we take for granted today is here. You know, like you can talk to people on the phone and see their face, have Zoom meetings. You know, you can have Skype meetings, you know, and you see who you're talking to. A lot of technology, things going on, you know. Of course, they say they went to the moon and landed on Mars, all this stuff, you know. I don't even care about all that, landing on the moon and landing on Mars. You know, they waste all that money and for what? They actually believe they're going to go there and live there. Well, maybe they will, because, you know, like if this phone trip, you know, happens, internet, well, I guess anything can happen. But that kind of takes me to talking about how the Washitu, they said we came 10,000 years ago. Then they find out it was a little longer than that. Then they find out it was a little longer than that. Then a little longer than that. Then they say it wasn't us. It was somebody else, you know. Then they talk about who came here first, you know. Before Columbus, they say Leif Erikson, you know. They're always up to something, but these are the same people that thought the world was flat, you know, like 500 years ago. 500 years ago, man, and the world was flat, you know. That was only 5 or 6 grandpas ago, and their brain hasn't developed much, but they think it does, you know. They think they invented everything, but a lot of things that happen were not invented by them. You know, rockets, Chinese were shooting rockets, fireworks in the sky 1,000 years ago, you know. A lot of things that happened, it wasn't the American that found it, or even the British, you know. I mean, even the stars, you know, Galileo, who was he? You know, a lot of people that they talk about, you know, and the Americans dropped the first atomic bomb. But how did they learn that stuff? Well, they kidnapped a German, Wernher von Braun, you know, during the Second World War, and because he was the one making those rockets, I forget what you call them. They were landing all the way into Britain, you know. So I guess they kidnapped him and took him to the U.S. and made him work for them. And then from there, a lot of other things developed. But they always think they want to take credit for everything. I was looking at this boxer, I like to watch boxing, and they stay on tabs. Even tonight, you know, there's interesting boxing match coming up. Zerto Ramirez against Joe Smith, you know, and some other bouts along with it. But there's one young guy named Richard Torres, heavyweight, knocks people out. And I was laughing because of you know, how they're all brainwashed so bad. You know, they're really brainwashed bad, Americans. And Americans take credit for stuff that people that are not white, or I hate calling them white, are pale face, you know, Europeans. Like those black boxers, when they win a championship, they give the credit to the American. And it's not the American that's, you know, that taught them how to fight, you know. It's something, somebody else. I was just trying to look for it. Anyway, you know, a guy says he's got the body of an American, the heart of a Mexican, and the blood of a champion. You know, but that got me. He's a Mexican, and he said the body of an American. And he's there with his arms raised and all that. And it just trips me out that they give their credit away to the Americans so easily. I mean, instead of giving their own people the credit, the American didn't make him a good fighter. He got that on his own. He just, you know, some people are like that, like to fight or whatever, and they become good at it. You can't say, I got that way because I'm American, you know. But everything that happens, even Indians, they give the credit back to the Washichu. And I don't think that's a good thing. You know, I think we should all be proud of who we are, our parents, our grandparents, and our wherever our bloodline came from. And, you know, obviously we came and were created on this continent. But, you know, once again, the Washichu don't want to admit it. And you always get people, they seem to be on the right track, like the Hawaiians. But then even them, they say they came to Hawaii 10,000 years ago from someplace else. The American Washichu has a way of making everybody believe what he says. So there's even Indians that think we came from China or Mongolia. And I even heard them bragging, you know, on Facebook. Yeah, I can ride horse good because I got Mongolian blood in me. Probably does have Mongolian blood in them. I know the guy that said that. I know his family there, Lakota, but this guy here does have Asian blood in him because one of his family, his mother or grandmother was made it with an Asian down in Scott's Bluff. But, you know, why, you know, it kind of really gets me how they think, you know, how we have, are not just us, the whole world, every race of people, God gave them a magnificent culture, magnificent race, bloodline. But once they think they're American, they forget all about that. When America was, I always say this every week, and I don't know why I have to repeat it, but it's only 247 years. How can you accept something as new as 247 years when you originally come from a people that were created someplace, and indigenous people were created in these continents, and we're all related. You know, the other thing I was listening to in regards to that, I was listening to a video that somebody sent, and a lady's talking on it. And this lady's trying to sound like she's got it together. She's blonde lady, but she says she makes it sound like she does have some native blood in her, you know. And she talks and she says, there's proof that we were here before 30,000 years ago. So she's trying to get with it, you know. But even her, she talks about, what do they call that? When carbon, how they can tell how old something is. They use carbon, you know, in science, they have carbon. I'm having brain lag. But anyway, they have a system they use with chemical and all that in their brain tells them how old something is, you know. And that's kind of strange because only they see this. Only them know that, you know. So if they're the only ones that see it and they're the only ones that know it, how do we know something like that even exists? But they measure time, you know, from this carbon datings and isotope datings and and from what they say, they're able to tell how old a rock is, for example. You know, how old a rock is or how old something is. So from using that, they came up with 35,000 years. So in other words, they moved up from 10,000 years to 35,000 years. They found some footsteps in White Sands, New Mexico, and footprints. So it shows that we came from someplace else 35,000 years ago. And when they talk about it, they don't say Indians. They say we, our ancestors. You know, the whites say that, or the pale face say that. And once again, trying to take credit for something that has nothing to do with them. So let me see. 5,000 years, like 10,000 years. I always say that's only 1,000 grandpas ago. You know, that's how I measure stuff, you know, how many grandpas, because the further back you go, people lived longer. And so I always judge by that, you know, how many grandpas ago, like my grandma was born in 1800s and her grandma was born maybe in the 1700s. I don't know, but that's how I judge it. So one grandma ago, I was back in 1800s. Two grandmas ago, 1700s. And all the way back to when Columbus came or whatever. So that's how I look at stuff. And with that judgment of measuring stuff that way, my common sense leads me to other understandings So one understanding is language. If we came from China and only 1,000 grandpas back, could we forget the Chinese language? Why don't we have Chinese language mixed in with ours? You know, so because we don't have no Chinese language, and even 2,000 grandpas ago or whatever. But like everything else, I say we're created here. And they also talk about the Homo sapiens and Homo erectus. Now this lady, that video that I watched, people think, oh yeah, she knows what she's talking about, because she's talking science. She's the one talking about carbon and carbon datings and stuff like that, you know, isotope datings. And, well, isotope dating supposedly outdid carbon dating, so isotope dating is a method they use now. And she said that they found like 35,000 or so many thousand years ago that they found proof or bones or stuff about the first human. And she said, and they were from Homo erectus. Now, Homo erectus and Homo sapiens were ones they say that they found in Europe. They're saying Homo erectus were over here. Homo erectus had smaller brains and looked more ape-like. So once again, they're giving credit to Europeans for coming from Homo sapiens that were having bigger brains and all that, you know, more intelligent, in other words. And I guess, you know, they walked upright. Well, people believe that stuff. But let's go back 35,000 years ago. Let's go back and look at mankind 35,000 years ago. How could suddenly in 35,000 years we, Dakota natives, indigenous in this country, they're saying, so suddenly we grew some brains in 35,000 years. Suddenly our heads got bigger and we grew chins and this and that. You know? Well, because they found evidence of this, bones or something, creation songs in our prayers, and in our past, there was other creatures on this earth with us. There was no pale face, you know. There was, we never even knew they existed, you know. You know, they didn't even exist. We didn't know nothing about Hasapa or Washichu then. It was just us and what was with us. What was with us, you know, four-legged animals and birds, water animals, reptiles, et cetera, trees, you know. That's what was with us. That's what we are related to. But we also know for a fact there was other things on this earth with us. You catch that? With us. there was a Homo erectus. That wasn't us. That was something, another form of life that was with us. I know we talk about, and Bimber knows the Lakota word regarding this stuff. I kind of forget stuff. But we talk about a little hairy man. Little hairy men that lived in trees. Well, come find out they meant, you know, monkeys. Because down South America, Mexico, down that way, we had monkeys. Little hairy men. But also, and when you get into the walking in a spiritual path, a spiritual journey, and deal with that, you learn a lot more. You learn about other beings that were with us. And everybody talks about Bigfoot, for example. But nobody ever sees them. So there's people that believe it and people that don't believe it. And then there's people that actually go out there and hunt looking for Bigfoot, looking for signs. Well, where did this this story about Bigfoot come, you know? Or the abdominal snowman, or that one they call, what do they call him, the Yeti or whatever in Himalayas? Because from what I understand from, you know, in my spiritual ways that I learned from Medicine Man, ceremonies, humblecha, and things like that, I learned that there was other things. Now, I'm doing this, we're on this radio show, this podcast or internet or whatever you want to call it. And so if I say something right away, I'm a liar. But there was people that were with us in the old days. And I also believe that they're still here. A lot of them are still here. Because when we go to on Humblecha and we're out by ourselves, times we see them. And, of course, people say, oh, you guys are devil worshipers and blah, blah, this, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I ain't the only one. But a lot of Lakotas at Humblecha, it's not because they're up there having a vision. It's because when you're up all night praying and you're in a silent, lonely place on a hill, you know, sometimes you run across other forms of life. They're not ghosts. They're not spirits. There are other forms of life that live on this earth with us. So, we didn't come from them, but we lived with them. In our language, we say, Mitakuye Oyasin. You know, we're all related. So we're related to these other forms of life. But when the white man probably found evidence of Homo erectus, it doesn't mean that was us. That's where we came from. They found another form of life. And how come they didn't find lots of them? How come they only found maybe one or two? You know? And they didn't find us. Why? Because they didn't find us, they passed the word that we came from them, because they found them, but they never found us. And it's real obvious in common sense, because we didn't bury our people under the ground. We didn't bury our people this way. You can get buried under the ground and end up getting preserved in ice or whatever. The weather, ice age happened and all this. And the other thing, people, the people that run science and all that, a lot of them, it leads back to Europe. Well, remember, Europeans 500 years ago thought the world was flat. And these same people don't realize that Britain, Norway, and all them countries in Europe, a lot of them were underwater and under ice 20, 30,000 years ago. In other words, there wasn't even a Britain. It's resurfaced as the water receded, or what's that fancy word? I guess maybe I said it right, recited. In other words, their land, Great Britain, England, and all that, when the water went away, they showed up, and of course, how Washitas are, they ran back over there and moved on it and started life. So those people weren't even around Great Britain, English, 10,000 years ago, because those islands, countries, and all that were underwater and all under ice and all that during the ice age and all everything. But yet those are the ones that speak about creation, speak about the earth was flat, we came from China. They're the ones that make up everything that everybody believes in modern times. Like this boxer, Richard Torres, saying, I have an American body, you know, because he's, you know, giving the American credit for him being a winner in boxing. In other words, he was bluffed. He was fooled. He was brainwashed. And his family must have been the same, because they were from Mexico and all that. But remember, the American didn't exist until only 247 years ago is when they made that name, American, America, American. It ain't even a race either. It's just something made up. But now everybody says, I'm American. Even a Mexican born up this way thinks he's better than the ones down south. I'm American, you know. I speak English, you know. And then when they say, yo hablar en español, it's my language, they say, you know. It ain't even their language. That's another European language, you know. We had indigenous languages in this country and all that. But I don't want to drift away from where I was talking about Homo erectus. The reason why they can never find our bodies is why? Because most natives, they weren't buried underground. They were put on scaffolds. Here comes this is what cracks me up. Here we got some guy over here called the American Indian Truth, and then he says Read 1828 definition of American. Read. That's his problem. He reads what somebody else writes. He reads it, and then he goes and believes it, and then he going around spreading another lie. Just another liar again. You know, he says, read it. They're troublemakers. He says, Native Americans are Evenki, Sami, Mi'kmaq, Nenets, and Altai of Siberia. The so-called Black Americans are the original peoples of Turtle Island. What a fool he is. First of all, I know for a fact this guy don't even have a language. He talks in English. I know that. He's talking in English, you know. You know, when you talk in English, you're proves you don't have a language of your own. If you don't have a language of your own, who the hell are you to come around and tell other people about their culture? He said, read 1828. And he said, and then here's what he called the so-called Black Americans. First of all, let me get back what I said last week. Humans aren't colors. There's no such thing as black. Those people that call themselves black are Africans from Africa, or whatever it was called before they got that name, Africa. But there's no such thing as a black man. There's no such thing as a white man, and there's no such thing as a red man. They call us red. I ain't red, and they ain't black. They talk about black pride. How could you have pride if you don't even know what you are? If you're going to say, read 1828, definition of American. I don't want to read nothing they write. Because whoever wrote it is probably another gossiper, bullshitter. It's what's wrong. That's the obstacles we face in these modern times to deal with life. But let me get back to why they never found none of us. They never found none of us because when you put a body on a scaffold and leave it there, because nobody touched them back then, we didn't have no Washitu grave diggers or people running around, you know, looking at dead bodies back then. You put a body on a scaffold and left it there and nobody bothered it. And after 100 years or, first of all, in the first year or two, it turns to bones, you know, and then it gets eaten by insects, whatever, scavenger lice or whatever. And then it turns to bones, and then through the environment, through the elements, the cold and all that, and the hot sun, this stuff disappears and disintegrates, and we go back, turn into the elements. We go back into nature. We turn back into the earth. That's how we were meant to go. So when you go like that, there's no bones to recover. You don't find them because you're not underground. When you put something underground, some places that could end up getting preserved, you know. And even underground, it ain't going to last that long. So if they find something underground, maybe it is only 10,000 years old. You know, so what gets me is how people believe this stuff. How they don't realize there's more to it than a Washitu story or somebody that can write Well, whoever wrote in 1828 was writing in his language, whoever that was. And I guarantee you it was most likely English in 1828. The same people that said the earth was flat. Now we got somebody up here, you know, with a baloney story. The so-called black Americans are the original peoples of Turtle Island. You know, they just want to take credit because those people lost their identity so bad, they don't even call themselves by their own tribe anymore. They just say, we're black, because they don't know who they are. They don't know if they're Watusi. They don't know, I don't know the tribes they have over in Africa, but, you know, they don't know which tribes they came from. And I don't blame them, because there's people over here that don't know where the hell they came from. Because most of the tribes and people got assimilated and murdered and all that by the Americans and Spanish, and so bad they were beaten not to speak their language. They were beaten not to worship in their own way. They were abused. So a lot of them lost it. And there's only a few that survived that and still have their own language and have their own prayers, their own songs. But, you know, and I said that, Wayne. I said that. I always said that. On this show, there was some guy, just like whoever this guy was before.
I remember.
That came on the show, and he said, he's really talking with big fancy words, you know. I don't understand all those big fancy 10-mile-long English words. They're really trying to talk like he's intelligent. So I said, okay, so if you guys were here first, speak in your language. Right away, it starts trying to change the subject. So speak in your language. If you were here first, where is your language? I mean, we still have our language. So where's your language? How come our language is still here and yours is gone? And then one guy had enough to nerve and said, well, we didn't talk. We used clicks, you know, click, click, click. And buzzes, you know, I mean, they come up with stuff like that. And I ain't attacking black people, you know, or Hassapa. I'm not attacking them. I mean, I get along with them, play music with them. You know, some of them are my bros like everybody else. The only thing is, I feel bad for them that they don't have a culture no more. And I feel bad for them that they're dying so hard, some of them, to have a culture, that they run around and dig and they see one little evidence. And right away, they come up with some story that blacks were here before us. You know, this guy, you know, the original peoples of Turtle Island. In other words, how could you be original people? In other words, he's saying black people were created here. That's what he's saying. Hassapas, Africans, were created over here. That's what he's saying. And everybody knows that's not true. Everybody knows that's impossible, because we have tribes, hundreds of tribes all the way to South America. We have, and they talk about the kinky hair of the Africans. They said they got like that because of the climate. Well, how about down there in the equator, those Amazon Indians? They don't have kinky hair. They live in the equator too. I'm not making fun of kinky hair. I'm just using that because it's a symbol of their culture. You know, everybody has a certain, that's a symbol of their culture. You know, and the more Indian you are, the less hair you have on your face or wherever. Indians weren't hairy people, and they all had straight hair. You go down to see the ones in Amazon, their hair is straight. Every Indian, the more Indian you are, the more straighter your hair. And when they ended up with curly hair and hairy arms and chest and all that, that's from the Spaniards and Europeans. But anyway, I'm sorry I let this guy throw me off. I was talking about why they don't find our remains. Because we made it so when we left, our body went back to the elements, to the earth where we came. So when it's that way, you can't find, you know, where we came from. So since they found Homo erectus, they're trying to say, oh, they were here, Homo erectus, you know? Or maybe this guy thinks he's Homo erectus, you know? Or they don't know. But Homo erectus was another time what we would have called a relative that lived on this earth together. And I was also talking about if they're here today, why are they so elusive? How come we don't see them today? Why is that? And I always said because their diet is a diet that doesn't attract attention. Whenever you eat meat, any creature that ate meat automatically leaves a trail. It's noticeable when you eat meat because you're killing another creature to eat. You leave a trail and you also turn into an enemy to something. Even humans. So for that reason, if you eat meat, you're going to leave a trail and people are going to find out who you are, where you came from, and where you're at today. So these beings that lived with us, and I'll call them Homo erectus because this lady called it that, are other giants, little people, and other things that we talk about in our ceremonies and all that. You know, what did they eat? If you eat anything that everybody else eats, there's going to be a trail, especially now in these modern times when food is getting pretty scarce. They say bananas are on an extinct list and other forms of food. I'm just pretty sure that whatever these relatives were, they didn't eat normal food. That's why I said, I remember like I was telling Wayne earlier about a time when we were in Utah and we seen big giant tracks in the snow right by where we parked the truck, you know. And so I know they're out there. And I've seen and heard. We've seen them. But I hate to say that because then people are crazy and, you know, say we lost it. So I'm gonna say they were seen and people know them. So what kind of diet could somebody have that won't attract attention? Well, from what I've seen, like I was talking about these tracks in Utah and noticing wherever somebody sees Bigfoot are these other forms of life, it's always in the mountains around places. I thought, and this is just my opinion, that they possibly could live on pine cones. Because nobody misses pine cones. They're all over. Or maybe they could just eat a tree. A tree that fell down. There's a lot of nutrition in a tree. Talking to Wayne about it earlier. He was talking about they have sap. That's where we get our stuff, you know, to glue our whistles and things together. It's just, in other words, something could grab a tree and eat it and live off it. Oh, ants do, don't they? Don't ants eat trees? So if you eat a tree, nobody's going to miss it. If you're living off trees and pine cones, for example, I'm not saying they do. I'm saying if you were to eat something that no other creature eats, you're not going to notice it. And for that reason, it ain't going to get nobody's way and make somebody so curious they go looking for you as if you went and started eating meat and people found dead animals and dead bones laying around, you know, something else running around eating stuff out there. They'll start hunting you. If you don't leave a eating trail, nobody's going to bother with you. And people say they get scared of Bigfoot and all that, but these sorts of other creatures don't kill either. They're harmless. If you don't kill, you're also going to stay under the radar. If you don't hurt people, you're going to be under the radar. When you go someplace and see beautiful mountains and you look at up at the top and all that beauty, don't you ever wonder what else lives up there? It's so beautiful. God would put something else up there, right? Well, that's just how I think. Anyway, Wayne, what do you think?
You know, what I think is it could be possible, you know? You know, what I do think is that a lot, you know, there's a news article going around there on Yahoo as well about those two hikers. They went up into uncharted territory, and they were demolished by a bear, okay? You know, what we're talking about, we're not talking about a species or another form of life, you know, out here harming people. You know, there could be another form of life out there that we have no evidence of yet. However,
you do sound like you have some doubt there.
Well, I haven't seen them yet. Okay, I haven't seen the footprints like you have.
And
you know,
you're probably the most hold on for a second, then you can continue. But you haven't seen them yet, and maybe you'll never see them. And if you haven't seen them yet and you never seen them, does that make you doubt that they exist? Go ahead.
I really can't answer that. I'm not having doubt. However, if they're there and they're living there in the land themselves, I'll leave them alone. Okay, I'm not those hikers who went up into uncharted territory in Canada and decided to mess with a bear. You know what I mean? And then the bear demolished two of those hikers, and then
killed
the Canadian. I don't know. What's that?
They killed the dog too.
Oh yeah.
Two hikers and a dog.
Yeah, and they went out and they killed the bear itself. You know, I hope whatever's living out there is safe, and they don't try to hunt that individual down. You know, whatever form of life it is, but hopefully it lives a peaceful life, especially away from Paleface, because the first thing a Paleface would do would probably try to trap it, you know, kill it and dissect it. You know what I mean? Instead of letting it go free and living on its land.
You're absolutely right.
You know, so hopefully it's out there
right.
Living in peace.
And that's why I say, whatever is out there, and they don't see it, it's because it's not a threat to humans. And it's not a threat to anything else. And it's so elusive that another animal won't eat it. A bear won't mess with it. Because maybe it is a powerful creature that can just throw a bear down a hill or something, you know. But you said it there. If he ate somebody like that bear, once you do that, they hunt for you. Even a shark, even an alligator. When an alligator kills a human, man, they'll go after it. They'll go in the water looking for it till they find it. Even if it's the wrong one, they'll get somebody going to pay for it. You know?
Hey, Wombly, hold on a second here. Hold on a second. I just want to say one thing, too. If you see big footprints around your vehicle, like we talked about previously out there in Utah, if you see really big footprints and they're not a threat, okay, and they're not leaving a trail of their diet around, okay, here's the thing people need to realize, and a lot of, especially the pale faces, they're extremely notorious about having a disregard for human or a disregard for just life in general, whether it's another species or humans itself. One thing the pale faces need to realize, okay, that some of the most strongest species on this earth live off the land and just live off herbs, live off herbs, and you know they live off plants. They're not typically carnivores. You know, look at all the animals on this earth too that are super strong. A lot of them are herbivores. You know. Now, if you see big footprints around your car or out there in the wild, and it's not a threat to you, I'd leave it alone. Because obviously they're not leaving like a meat trail or devoured cattle laying around everywhere. You know what I mean?
And you think I'm going to follow them footprints in the nighttime?
Nope. No, but a pale face is dumb enough to. You know how Wachichis are. They want something for their zoo.
Well, you're right. You know, our people leave things alone. Our people see so much. You know, we just leave things alone. You know, there's things we don't mess with. I mean, our people, like my nephew and them, a few years ago, they took a picture of a UFO down there by the lake. And this was a good picture of a UFO. of not a UFO, of a flying object, probably 60 feet above the ground, above the lake. And a bunch of Indians seen it. And he had it on his phone. And it was so real because you could see birds flying on this side of it and birds flying on the other side of it. The birds weren't worried about it. You know, it was a really good picture. So one of them got a hold of up in Rapid City or Air Base, you know, to share it with them. And there they right away, they said, rah, 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 you know. So they said, how was it? Talk to them no more, you know. You see, if they don't see it, they don't believe it. You know what I mean? If they don't see it, they don't believe it. So that's why it's useless to tell them anything. So we live in our little world on the Indian reservations. We see a lot of things out here. There's been nights when we had somebody up on a hill praying way up on top. And we would go down at the bottom of the hill down there and get out a drum and we'd sing. We always did this, sing for the guys on Humblecha, you know. And when you're up there praying, you hear them singing for you. It makes you strong and powerful when you're up there alone in the environment, you know. And you hear your people down there singing. They pull up, you hear them singing. And then when they pack up and leave, man, you get really lonely because when you hear them go, you know you're all alone, all by yourself. You know what I mean? And I've been through that. And so we always go up and sing for people on Humblecha. Well, we're even losing that, you know. I don't want to get off into that. That's a whole nother issue. But we're really losing our way because a lot of things that we did, we don't do no more. Because the younger generation, they're not into that. They have other things to do. They go up there and sit in the nighttime and sing, you know. So they don't do it. But while we're up there singing, we've seen so much stuff. The sound of that drum attracts so many things. And you can see why God gave mankind a drum, all mankind, Kotas, but Africa, Russia, all over the world, everybody got a drum. And we always use drum for spiritual reasons. The Washita is the only one that I know use it to go to war, you know. You know, they're the only ones I know that do that. So, but that drum singing tradition culture always attracts common things, normal, down-to-earth things, life. And it even attracts Bigfoot, what people call as UFOs. I don't know what it is and don't want to know. And the Washita should be the same, but they're not, you know, they're not the same. Like you said, once they see something, they always want to dig after it, go look for it, find it, like you said, dissect it. They all want to do that. And that's what's dangerous about them. That's what's bad about them. You know? Because they don't know how to leave things alone. And, you know, two people hiking up in Canada with a dog. Yeah, it's beautiful. Go hike. But they say you're putting your life in danger when you do that. You're not putting your life in danger. You're putting the animal's life in danger because, look, when that bear did that, what do? They go hunt the bear down and kill him. They go hunt the mountain lion down. They hunt the lion down. They hunt the tiger down, the alligator down. You give them an excuse, they're going to hunt you down. So for that reason, I always say, just ignore stuff. Appreciate that you have the privilege to see them. Appreciate that you have the privilege to be there when it happened. Appreciate that, whatever it was. And when you go out, remember, there's other things out there beside you. So don't go out there nothing. You know, I'm not saying take a gun. But if you're going to go out there, remember, you're sharing or either you're invading somebody else's privacy. And I always think that that's the way we're supposed to be. It's better to be humble and not invade people's privacy, invade other things, other ways of life. I mean, I'm even don't like to kill a spider. When I see a spider, if he's around, I'll put him on a sheet of paper and move him. That's the worst thing I'll do. I hate to kill snakes. One time, because my son, he can't see, he was out there going after a rattlesnake. Because of the rattle, he heard it and was going after it. I went over there, and my attempt to move the snake, I ended up, taking its life. And I wasn't running around trying to show off with it either, you know. But I feel bad when that happens. I feel bad if I run over an animal on the highway. You know, I feel bad when we have accidental encounters with each other. And I hate to see them pay for my mistake. Like that bear that they killed in Canada. You know, then last week I seen them in California. They were chasing a female bear around that ended up down in the residential area in San Bernardino. And people were chasing this bear around with their cameras. Next thing they had helicopters and police and, you know, fishing game. And you could see this poor bear was scared to death. Place he went, there's humans there invading his private or her. It was a female bear. That bear bloodline probably came in that same area for thousands and thousands of years. Anyway, this bear ended up running across the road and some idiot runs him over and kills him. What in broad daylight? What kind of idiot so stupid runs over something in broad daylight? And the Washichu and modern people, when they see things like this, they look at it as action. Oh, we had some action today. Yeah, man. There was a bear around here. Look, I got a selfie of it. And they'll talk about that for next 2 or 3 years. Yeah, back when that bear came through. Yeah, I was there too. I remember that day. I was eating a taco down the road. I remember that day. Yeah, me and Buddy were over there. We were tooting up, you know. They make things out of these events. You know, I was on the internet checking stuff, and I seen a guy talking about Washita River, and I read the comments down there and how the white man was honoring Custer. They said, yeah, Custer got killed in unfortunate situation in Little Bighorn. They said, but Custer had so many successful wins and attacks against the Indians. Don't people know that? Custer was a brave man. Well, what kind of bravery you got when you got 300 or 400 men and you go into a village after you wait for the men to leave and everybody, and you just go in and kill the women and children? You know, that's brave. You get
cities Wombly,
named after you. Yeah.
He's not brave. He's not brave. I was a soldier. You know, we were both in the military at one point in our lives, right? Any well-trained soldier knows you don't kill women, children, or medical staff. Okay? See, that's to show you how brainwashed and warped he was. He's actually, excuse my language, hate to say it on this air, but I'm not going to say it, but, you know, he was demented. And he's nothing but a rabid, invasive species. That's all he is.
But
he's a coward.
Wayne, you know, that ain't true what you said. They don't kill. Everybody knows you're not to kill women. They don't know that. Because in these modern times, they're still killing women and children. I mean, medical personnel probably have a better chance than a woman or children. Do you know the name Robert Bales?
No, I don't.
Okay, Robert Bales was a soldier in Afghanistan. One night, he got drunk, and he got up, and he hiked into town.
Yeah, he
went
used
into
steroids,
a house.
Yeah,
well, listen, let me, you know, come on now. And he went into a house, and he just gunned down everybody in it while they're sleeping. Then he left and went back to the base, drank some more, and then went back in and did it again. And anyway, they found out it was him. So where's he at now? He's in Washington, doing time in Washington. This happened in Afghanistan. The Afghanistan people were deprived the right to prosecute him and all that. The Americans brought him back over here. They say they gave him life, but they did that to Lieutenant Cowley, too, from the My Lai massacre. And they brought him back over here in Washington because his family's in Washington, and they wanted him to be close to his family. You see, they don't care about women or children. Because if they cared about women and children, and you kill women and children, that should be the lowest thing you can do. And when that happens, you don't deserve to go someplace to be close to your family. You deserve to be given justice to the people who you harmed, those Afghanistan should have took him and had their own justice with this guy. But the Americans, they don't care about women and children. Like, they might say it. They might have wrote it on paper someplace to look good. But it's not their nature to care about women and children. It's not their nature. When something ain't their nature, they do what's in their nature. That's why even in these modern times, they're dropping bombs and killing people. They're always justifying it by, oh, we got rid of some terrorists. You know, and I agree with you that they're not heroes or nothing. But maybe they do have a rule that they're not supposed to kill women and children, that women and children are first. But they always break that rule with some kind of justification. When a society doesn't kill women and children, they just don't do it. They don't think of it. It's automatic. They don't do it. Now, if you have a family member that goes out in the night, kills women and children, and comes home and you find out about it, what are you going to do? You know, you going to defend them? I always remember, you know, this one family member beating up his girlfriend. So he is staying at this house. This girl had brothers, came looking for him, knocked on the door. His cousin answered the door. Where's so-and-so at? Oh, he's here. Well, I need to talk to him. Hey, this guy's come, wants to talk to you. So he goes out there, and there he hears the guy say, oh, so you like to bite women, huh? And as soon as he heard that, he realized those guys came to beat the guy up. So before the guy came back in the house, he shut the door, locked the door, and left him out there to get his punishment for beating the girl and biting her and stuff, you know. I mean, there's something inside of common people where we don't appreciate people like that. And we won't protect them, and we won't defend them. You know, once you do that, you're on your own. I say this, like Robert Bales. He went in there and did that to these women and children, but the U.S. protected him. They brought him back. Now he's doing time real easy in Washington. They say he's locked up. I don't believe it. But they put him where his family is. You know what I mean? And to me, when you're like that, then you really don't care about women and children. We have, you know, it's just like this government. They say one thing and always do the other. I was thinking about Leonard Peltier, still in there. And there's one group of people out there that hate him so bad for killing two innocent FBI agents. And these innocent FBI agents had family. And this evil person killed him. So whenever somebody comes up and brings evidence that he didn't do that, there's so much evidence about Leonard Peltier that he didn't do what he said he did. There's judges and people coming out of the woodwork now that are admitting his trial, his prosecution was tainted. And the two guys who admitted shooting the FBI got found not guilty. And both of them said Leonard didn't have nothing to do with it. Anyway, my point is Leonard's sitting in prison now for what, 47, 48 years? Yeah, about 48 years. Be 48 years. And they don't have, they have them for conspiracy now. They don't have them for the murder. They have them for conspiracy. But the guys who went to trial and got found not guilty, they were found not guilty. So who did Leonard conspire with? What did he conspire with? You see, he's in there for a bogus charge now. But he's still there. And that leads me in another direction of the invasive species. They run this country. And when you look on the internet, look at the news and see all the evil stuff they done, all the evil stuff they do, and how they treat people. And yet they cry about violence. Right now, they're crying about gun violence. But they're crying about it, but at the same time, they like guns and they want to have guns. And I don't know what anybody thinks about that, but they were wondering about gun violence. Why is there so much violence in this country? Well, I was watching a guy, this guy wrote an article about, he goes to a gym every day in New York City. He's a African. He goes there every day, and he brought up a time. Oh, he talks about how there used to be a lot of Africans in the gym with him, but now it changed to where there's only a couple of them in there, and he's one of the couple left. And during the epidemic, the COVID epidemic, this one European guy was walking on a treadmill, and he moved his mask down so he could breathe. So the African lady employee that works there went up to him and said, hey, pull your mask up. You got to pull your mask up. And the European looked at her and gave her a dirty look. But he slowly pulled his mask up and then went on to proceeded to do his exercise. Well, the African that witnessed that made him feel angry that this guy gave her a dirty look. Sometime after that, another European went up and told somebody to pull their mask up. A European told an African to pull his mask up. See, the other incident was a woman African told a white European to pull his mask up. Now, this other scene where a white told the, or a European told the African to pull his mask up, and this same African that wrote the story was talking about how he felt about both incidents. When the African girl told the European man to pull his mask up, he didn't like how the European looked at her. And when the European told the African to pull his mask up, the first thing he thought of was, who the hell does this European think he is telling this guy to pull a mask up? Why don't he mind his own business? You see, he had two opposite reactions for the same kind of situation. And he went on and talking about racism, how he gets racist and all that in his life because he's African, or in the story he says he's black, how black people are treated. Well, I was looking at that, and then I seen other incidents on the news where shootings and this and that happening. And how are they going to have peace when they like guns, the Americans, and they hate each other, but they go to the same gyms, they go to the same theaters, they go to the same stores, they live with each other, right around each other. How are you supposed to have peace in a country where everybody hates each other right in elbow range? How do they deal with that? When us Indians sit back and we watch, because we get discriminated by both of them, by Africans and Europeans and Middle Easter, everybody. You know, we get discriminated by everybody. But, like, we don't take it like they do. It's like, it's just part of our life. We just go on, you know, move on. Because it so happens so much, it doesn't bother us. But to answer their question about when they're going to have peace, how are they going to stop? How are they going to stop this? I'll ask that question. How do you think they can stop it? Are they ever going to stop it? So you're the only one here, Wayne.
I don't think anything's going to change. I knew one fella. I asked him about 22 years ago. I asked him, you know, he's a Lakota too as well. And I asked him if race relations have ever changed. He said no. So if it hasn't changed today, it hasn't changed about 22 years ago. It hasn't changed since they arrived on Plymouth Rock, since they arrived in the islands of Hispaniola with Columbus or whatever. No, I don't think anything's going to change. We can try. The only thing we can do is change the way how we think. Okay? And thinking about, in the military, from old previous military training, you know, since they hate each other, okay, and they want to discriminate on us, they just need to leave us alone, okay? We can change the way how we think. I don't want to have anything to do with them. And for a military tactic itself, you know, they're going to kill each other off, okay? They just need to leave us alone. okay, because that's what the military's programmed to do, is try to get the enemy or enemies to kill each other and sit back and watch. Have the military sit back and watch the enemies kill each other, okay? That's the whole purpose of that game. However, they're doing a good job on themselves.
You know, well, that's everything you said is the truth. It's never going to stop. And I always look at it like this. They're at each other's throat all the time till we step up. And then they'll direct their attention to us, and they'll be buddies with each other while they're getting on our shit. You know?
Hey, Wombly, one second here. Remember what I said in previous programs, too, to watch teach you. You know, after they're finished attacking other people, other cultures, right, the Wachichu will turn on each other. Only thing you have to do is look at that January 6th incident with the U.S. Capitol, okay?
Yep.
It's the truth.
Well, what it is you see, that's a hateful group of people. And other races, pale-faced races around the world, these Americans, and their excuses because they're inbred so bad that they have. That's why when, you know, even horses, when horses become so inbred, they use them for rodeo stock because you can't train them. They won't let you on their back. They're just mean as hell. When there's inbred stuff going on, there's no development, no brain development. They're not maturing, and they having a flaw for some reason, because God, it's like he don't want you to drink alcohol. He don't want you to get high. So when you get high or drink alcohol, your good spirits leave you, and the only thing they leave you with is the opposite. So the opposite is everything wrong, everything bad. So instead of wanting to have your clothes on, you'd rather be naked. Instead of wanting to be peaceful, you'd rather fight. So the opposite of everything occurs. And God don't want you to inbreed either. So when you inbreed and you give birth to inbreds, and I hate to sound like I'm attacking, but you, somebody growing up angry, because everybody has inbreds in their societies nowadays, you know? And nothing good happens because God didn't want you to do that. So all your good spirits left and you're stuck with whatever's there. So there's a lot of evil going on. That's why the other European races, they look at these Americans having serious brain problems, mental issues, you know? And if you think about it, they do. Because these Americans are all over the world starting trouble. They're all over the world. They're in China provoking the Chinese. They're over there provoking the Ukrainians to keep that war longer. Every day that war happens, more people die. That's how they want it. And they also support Israel. Well, now those Palestinians used to fight with slingshots, but I guess they got their hand on some rockets, so now they're using bigger equipment. In Israel, they're coming down on them because the American supports Israel. They supply them with nukes and everything. You know, now they're coming down on the Palestinians hard. You know, and a lot of people are dying. They don't care if it's women or children. They're going to go after them and just bomb, bomb, bomb. You know, and who supports Israel? This country. This country supports Israel. So Israel can ask them for arms, anything they want, money, anything they want. And they'll help them turn on the Palestinians. When this country is against another nation, they will help destroy that nation. Country, they're evil to everybody. And it's just common sense to see it. You don't have to believe me. I ain't asking you to believe me. I ain't asking you nothing. I'm just telling you what I see. And what I do see is what, for what I can see, it's really happening. You know, they have so much murders going on in this country. Lots of murders. Lots of using guns for everything and anything. I know for a fact there are European people over here that don't get involved in what the Americans do. The average American has his nose in everything. You know? When something happens down there, they talk about the wall. Now Biden's going to jump in and help Trump finish building his wall. So they act like they don't like each other, and that was a good point you brought up about January 6th, how they went in and attacked their own kind. And, you know, they crack me up because they're a people. They need to rile each other up to take the next step. Rile each other up and then take another step. If nobody riles each other up, they'll turn around and haul ass. But if they have somebody to rile them up, then they take a step. Then someone else will rile them up. When they went to the Capitol on January 6th, you know, most of them people didn't know it was going to turn out like it did. And when it turned out that way, then they jumped in it. And, you know, they get into Republicans and Democrats. They just let a guy named, I forget his name, Mark Gates. Anyway, he helped them throw out this House Speaker of the House. And this guy that helped throw him out a couple years ago was taking young girls across the border, and he got one of them ratted on him, taking them to another state and having sex with them, 16 years old. And they don't care that he did that. Trump, on the news, on TV, talked about how he put his finger in women's this and that. They don't care. He's still got 80 million supporters. This country doesn't care. It's like I told you, I was watching a video about what Custer did. This country all believes Custer's a hero, even though they know he's a baby killer. Anyway, like you said, and I agree with you, there's not going to be no peace in this country. And you reminded the part that we're going to, all we can do is try to teach our younger people and the other ones, to understand that they're being brainwashed and not to do that stuff. You know what I mean? That's all we can do, huh, Wayne?
You're correct, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, you really have a delay there.
Well, yeah, because I had you on speaker, then I switched it over back to the phone speaker, you know. I put you on mute as well, you know what I mean? So you don't hear any type of disturbance in the background on my end. And for the respect to the listeners.
Well, that's good, because I don't want to hear your farts and all that.
Oh, thanks. Hey, but, you know, I do want to touch on
I really appreciate that, you know, and plus the audience, they appreciate that too. Even though they can't smell it, just the thought of you doing it makes them smell something, you know. Humans,
hey, someone has to keep it quiet.
Yeah, somebody has to keep it tight, you know. And you know, but I appreciate the listeners we have. And I'm sorry that this guy, whoever he is, American Indian Truth, that he's brainwashed or he came up with his own. And these are all, to me, it's a mental disorder. When you don't want to accept reality, common sense. If there were blacks here before Indians or Africans, then where's their language at? You see, most people forget that part. When you're going to lie, you can make up everything, but one thing you can't make up is, what language did you speak? And if you were here before we were, where did you stop off before you got here to learn English? You know? It's just strange that they don't think about that. I mean, it's like if you're going to commit a crime, you got to cover every base. So he covered every base except for he didn't cover the part of what language did we speak. You know, and why isn't it here today? You know, the European, the only people they attacked was us. We're the only ones. They didn't want us talking our language. There was no other languages here except our language. And their language, they talk, I forget what they call it, but that's the one where they say, hey, y'all, you know, mofo.
Answer that for you. Their language, you know, that's the hillbilly slang. It's called hillbonics.
Yeah, I can. I
it's true. But
yeah, I
hey,
believe.
If you if you don't mind, I'd like to take a sidestep real quick about common sense here for one moment.
You know, go ahead.
we're talking about the Wachichu versus other cultures, other white cultures across the Atlantic over in Europe and whatnot. You know, I think to myself, you know, a lot of the Wachichu here, they don't have a lot of common sense, because if they did, they would or have already developed a massive rail system, just like they have in Europe. And, you know, seriously, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, I mean, think about it. Think how strong an economy turns out to be. Typically, the euro is stronger than the dollar. I mean, you know, with the rail system, you know, it's not only clean for the environment, but just think if you were – for example, one of those little sandwich shops like at the train stations over there in Europe. Just think if you had a rail system, you know how many people are going to show up at the certain times, you know, for work in the morning and whatnot. You know, you're generating an economy. You can make an actual living. But for some reason, you know, the common sense level, you know, they want everybody to drive cars and, you know, go across the land in automobiles rather than building a network system. And I was just thinking that from an economic perspective of common sense, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, we're talking about times past as well, 20-some years back. Matter of fact, and what was it, 2008, they said the train was coming. Well, that was dismantled. It turned around, and they had to bail out all those, the auto manufacturers or the banks. And
well,
sure enough, look where we're at today.
I don't know
same
if you were here, but not long ago, we talked about that, you know. And I was trying to look on my records exactly when we did talk about it, but we talked about that because I, for one, know about the transportation systems in Europe, especially in Russia. I had there was a Facebook, had a little argument going about the trains, because they're trying to make a train from LA to the Bay Area, you know. And they're talking about why it don't work, because people are not into it. Well, that ain't true. The reason why they ain't into it is they want too damn much money to make it happen. You see, they're into, if they do something, they better make a killing or they're not going to do it. Well, you look at the transportation system in Russia, elderly people get free rides, and then a certain age gets a big discount. Military don't pay. Students get a student pass. The train to ride them is really cheap. The cheaper you have it, the more people will ride on it. You know, I'm not, because you know what? I was trying to find a cheap way to go visit my brother. So I said, you know what? Maybe a train's cheaper. And there, hell no, it ain't cheaper. And worse than that, it's an arrogant system. That's why it don't work over here. Yeah, that's why it don't work over here. But other countries, every country you go to has a hell of a transportation system where poor people can go. I mean, these countries, people don't even need cars. And therefore, they're not burning up gas like they are over here. I mean, in Russia, wherever you go, there's a bus stop. I don't care, in the middle of nowhere, there's a bus stop. You go to that bus stop and wait, and pretty soon the bus is going to show up. And even to get to that bus stop, every town, every village has a taxi service. And nothing is expensive. That's why it all works. These taxi drivers sit around. You ask them for a ride, they'll take you to the bus stop, way out on the highway, drop you off on the highway to the bus stop. You catch the bus, it takes you into a town where a train is. Then you get on the train, and it will take you to the big cities, Moscow, St. Petersburg, or whatever big city you want to go to. You know? It is so cheap.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you forgot to mention the nice bicycle ways there. Or the bike trails they have in Europe.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, people ride bikes, and they have room for it. But back to the rail system and the transportation system, you know, like, I'll give you an example. I went from Moscow to Venice, Italy, and I had a round-trip ticket, mind you, you know, less than $200. I caught a train, $5 to Moscow, and then from there to airport, taxi the airport, or they even have a train that goes straight into the airport. You know, a train drives straight to the airport, you know, and then from there, get on the airport, several options. You can fly into Paris, or you can fly all the way into Venice, but you can fly into Paris and get out and have a bus or a train that will take you all the way into Venice. And you can do all this really cheap. Well, I went from Moscow to Venice, and then from Venice I caught a shuttle bus that took me from Venice down into Slovenia. I forget the capital of Slovenia. I can't even pronounce it. Ljubljana or something like that, you know. So anyway, so I rode they have a shuttle that takes you down to Slovenia. Then from there, once again, you got taxis, cheap taxis, you know. So the system in Europe all works together. It all works together like a puzzle. It all fits in place. You can go anywhere in Europe for $200. And even in these modern times, okay, maybe it went up to $300. But from what I see and from what I've been through, that was the price, $200. Anyway, looks like we're going to have to get ready and go. So, you know, simple as, you know. We'll say this, Wakan Tanka, Lila Wopila Tanka, you know. We chose on Itelo, Weate, Itakuyase. So, anyway, we're going to have to go. Any last comments, Wayne?
Yeah, a good, excellent show. I'll be here next week. And I admire the fact we both ended the show with some common sense, especially with the rail system.
Yeah, well, the rail system is something this country needs. As big as it is, they could handle it, and they would make money, and everybody would be more happier, you know. And they talked about crime just shortly. They talked about crime on the rail, that, oh, we'll have too much crime. Well, in Russia, for instance, they don't have crime because when the train stops, the military will hop on and they'll walk down the train and sit there, and then they'll get off at another city, and they'll, you know. So who the hell's going to mess around on the train with the military walking around? I mean, look at, you were in Paris, right? De Gaulle Airport. Weren't you?
I was all over Europe. I had a girlfriend live in Amsterdam years ago.
Well, let's cut off the blank airspace here. So I asked you a question. You were in De Gaulle Airport, right? So
Charles de Gaulle.
What do you remember about? Okay, what do you remember about De Gaulle Airport? Here's what I remember. They had live military walking around with rifles. Same way with Vienna, Austria. You know, who the hell's going to be messing around when you got that kind of security running around? Not just police, but military. And that's what they have on these trains. They could do that in this country. Have a rail system and just have military hopping on, off and on it, you know? And no one's going to mess around with the military.
Yeah. They do it in their National Guard in France, their Royal Military Police in Holland. Germany, they have their Bone Police or their, what's it called, their State Police or whatever for Germany. They walk the trains all the time, every stop. There's always someone available.
Yep.
And
that's
zero
what all the countries
no
are.
Fight.
All the countries, they, when you get on the trains, they don't just have lazy police. They have military. They get on and they walk. They walk there. I mean, they're not bullies, so they just walk on. And when you see a guy in green walking down the aisle packing a rifle, you know, and stuff, hell, you ain't gonna commit no crimes, you know. And that's what they have in Russia. They have them getting on the trains. They go by. And they might stop and let me see your ID. Let me see your ticket, and that's about it. They don't bother nobody. And like I said, Charles de Gaulle Airport, military walking around there. Same way with Austria, same in Germany, like you said. And I tell you what, the most biggest cop I ever seen in Tegel Airport in Berlin was a woman. Well, she was big and blonde, about 6 foot something, a cop, you know. And you know what? They don't have issues like over here, petty crimes. Anyway, we're going to have to get ready and take off. So I'll have to tell everybody, go shout. I'll talk to you right now, okay, Wayne? Hold on.
You know, your son should die at all.
Mother, man, to me. Die, that we got Ha elvecsük, én a tapsapettől most így jusskál, kevon kicsik